You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
La Punte with Mark Walton.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the Euros Punt podcast from William Hill. We're looking ahead to Saturday's action, and it is, of course, the start of the last 16. Three games to come on Saturday, with Switzerland playing Poland, Wales against Northern Ireland, and Croatia taking on Portugal. We'll be hearing from several pundits along the way, with Oliver Zessiger looking at the Switzerland game for us. Derek McGovern joined Dave Kellner to preview Wales against Northern Ireland, and Tom Kunder will give us his thoughts on Portugal ahead of their match against Croatia. We've got plenty of trivia and another edition of Country Files along the way, so plenty to get stuck into. And we'll start, as we usually do, with the trivia question. And the question is, which European country is the only nation to win both the male and female World Cup? So that's, which European country is the only nation to win both the male and female World Cup? We'll give you the answer to that at the end of the podcast, as we always do. But first of all, let's start with Switzerland against Poland. At the time of recording this, Switzerland 21-10. The draw is 9-5 and Poland are 17-10. And Oliver Zessiger joined Dave Kellner to look ahead to this game. And Dave started by asking him, is there a feeling of optimism about Switzerland ahead of this game?
There is, but the team only reached what was expected from them. There is some optimism because of the play. We can now dominate possession, but we can't create chances. So the next step is clearly going forward. We need to create chances, and that is seen as the big problem in Switzerland right now. But it's generally quite optimistic.
Have they got the personnel there then, Oliver, to create those chances?
It's lacking a bit. I mean, we've got Shaqiri who can create. We've got Xhaka, who's more like a deep-lying playmaker. But we don't have the strikers to finish it, even if we create. I mean, we can't finish it. Our two goals so far came from set pieces, from Mehmedi after a set piece, and Cher via header after a corner. So we need those set pieces to create.
Yes, and just to back that up with the stats as well, Oliver, in 12 Euro games, Switzerland have scored more than one goal only once, and that was against Portugal way back in 2008 when they beat Portugal by 2-0. They've not got a fantastic record against Poland historically either. They've only won one of their 10 games against Poland, and that was in a friendly 40 years ago. There have been 5 draws in that spell. This feels to me like it could be a game that is drawn as well, Oliver.
It very much does to me as well. I had this written down as a draw from the beginning, and it may go to penalties even. I see Switzerland and Poland on a similar level. Poland maybe may have the better attackers with Lewandowski and Milik, but Switzerland has the better midfield. I can see this being a scoreless draw or a 1-1 going into extra time.
The 0-0 draw available at 5-1. The 1-1 draw is 11-2. If you fancy Poland to win in extra time, 11-1. Switzerland to win in extra time, available at 12-1. And to win on penalties, Poland 9-1 in that market, with Switzerland at 9-1 in that market as well. How do you envisage, Oliver, this game materialising? Do you think the Swiss will have the majority of possession, or will the Poles have a lot of the football?
Oh, I think the Swiss had the majority of the possession in all of the 3 games, if I remember correctly, so far. And I can see this going the same way. Poland is more of a counter-attacking team. They did well counter-attacking. I mean, they had 2 wins and a draw. And I can see this being similar to the second half versus France, where Switzerland dominated possession but didn't create. And France had one big chance with Payet. And I think this will be the same against Poland, with possession for Switzerland around 55%.
Okay, Oliver, what's your prediction then for the match? Are you going with 0-0, 1-1, a draw in 90 minutes?
I'm going with 1-1 and the game going into penalties.
1-1 in the game to go to penalties. 1-1 draw available at 11-2 here. And if you're looking at either team to win on penalties, 9-1 respectively, as mentioned. Just one final question, Oliver. If it is 1-1, who do you think scores for the Swiss?
That's a good question. I can see a defender scoring, Scherf, probably, again. Or I can see Shaqiri finally breaking his deadlock at this tournament and scoring one of each. Or Seferovic, who is also on a goal drought. One of the three I can see score.
Seferovic is 5-2 to score any time. Shaqiri in the betting at 19-5. And if you do fancy Shah to score for Switzerland, that's a bigger price. That's available at 6-1 for Fabian Shah to score in this match. We've been a little bit disappointed here in the UK by Jerdan Shaqiri, Oliver, in all honesty, because we've obviously seen him play for Stoke throughout the season in the Premier League, and his career's he's kind of gone backwards, hasn't he? He's moved from Bayern Munich to Inter Milan to Stoke City, whereas you'd expect from a top-class talent the progression to be the other way around.
Yes, his career has gone a bit stale. I hope he can get back on track at Stoke and maybe get another transfer to a bigger club. Even at this Euro, he gets heavily criticized in Switzerland. Although my personal view on this is that those people, the press and the fans criticizing him, don't see the defensive work he does at this Euro. But he is the one player who is capable of magic moments in the Swiss team. And we need him, as I said before, to create chances. And that's why he gets a lot of criticism from press and the fans.
Superb. Thank you, Oliver, for your company. Enjoy the match. If you want to check out Oliver on Twitter, it's at @AULIT_Z on Twitter, and his bio is on there. Oliver Zettiger, our Swiss football expert. Thank you, Oliver, for your company.
Thanks, Dave.
So Oliver Zettiger there, then, in the company of Dave Kellner, looking ahead to Switzerland against Poland. We'll next move on to Wales against Northern Ireland, a huge game to look forward to at 5 p.m. Wales 21-20, the draw 2-1, and it's 100-30 for Northern Ireland. And with Wales drifting out to 21-20, Dave started by asking Derek about the drift in price, given that Wales have the only world-class player in the shape of Gareth Bale in the two starting 11s.
I think it's a no-brainer. They're actually, they're so good now. Well, I mean, he's so important. They're not called Wales, they're called Bales. They've changed the name by Deed Poll. I don't understand. I mean, yeah, the Irish deserve a lot of acclaim for getting out of Group C, but they finished third on 3 points. You know, they lost two out of three contests. The only one they won was against Ukraine, who finished with 0 points, which gives you an idea how bad Ukraine might be. They got their own goal difference, or goal whatever it was, on the island. And that's only because of Michael McGovern in goal, and pulled off a string of unbelievable saves against Germany. I don't think they got any business being in the last 16. Wales definitely have. They did nothing wrong. Finished top of Group B. Six, two wins out of three. Could easily got something out of the England game. And as you keep saying, they've got Gareth Bale. I don't understand it. Britain for voting out, and I don't understand Britain's bookmakers for making Wales odds against to win this clash. I think it's an absolute certainty.
Wales 21-20 to win the game. Gareth Bale is 29-20 to score any time, which looks a decent bet as well. He has separated himself from a lot of the rest in this championship so far. Wales obviously won their two games against Russia and Slovakia, played decently against England as well, only that late Daniel Sturridge goal denying Wales the 3 points. And as you mentioned, that Michael McGovern performance, Derek, against Germany was absolutely sensational. I'm not sure where that came from.
Well, I know he plays his trade for Hamilton, and then he turns in a performance like that. I mean, I must say he's no relation to me, by the way. I've got my son is called Michael McGovern, who, again, is probably no relation. it was a sensational performance by him. And you look at Wales, and they're in the top half of the draw, You know, and if they win this, they've got Hungary or Belgium in the next round, and then Croatia in the semi-final, probably Croatia, possibly Portugal. I mean, what a way! That's an unbelievably kind draw for them. I think they're around the 4-1 mark to reach the semis, which, you know, I wouldn't put anybody off. But you know, more than even to win today is an absolute gift. I mean, Gabe Bale. You know what? The thing is, he's at the moment, he's the player of the tournament for me. I mean, a couple of the French fans might argue with Paille or maybe even Pogba after one. You know, but in the three games, he's been productive in three games, and yet to me, he's still got another couple of games to move up. You know, that's how good he is, and you know, if he gets firing completely, and there's no reason why he shouldn't against a poor Northern Ireland side, he could have absolute field day. That's how good he is. Any odds against Bale to score against Northern Ireland, why wouldn't you be on that?
Wales are 20-1 to win the championship, to win the Euros, and Gareth Bale is available here with William Hill at 7-2 to be a top goal scorer. Do you think 7-2 is a little bit tight on Bale, or would you say that's a good bet?
He's got three. Has anybody got more than him?
Alvaro Morata's tied with him on three goals at the moment, Derek.
Well, given that the draw they've got, I mean, you know, he could easily get a couple against Northern Ireland isn't beyond his compass. And then he's got Hungary or Belgium, probably Belgium. You know, they're not looking exactly watertight. Yeah, I think 7-2, I don't think it's tight at all. You know, what's the Portuguese Nancy boy, Ronaldo? He's got two goals.
He's on two. Yeah, he's 6-1, he is.
6-1. I don't see. No, well, I'd sooner bet. I mean, Portugal have got a tougher task at the moment than they've got Croatia in the next round.
Yeah.
Bale has got Northern Ireland to play against. Yeah, I think that's a fair price, honestly, too.
Cristiano Ronaldo is 6-1. Gareth Bale 7-2 to be top goal scorer at the Euros. And Wales in that good side of the draw. Available at 20-1 if you're having a bet on the game. Wales are 21-20 to win it. The draw 2-1 Northern Ireland in the betting at 100-30. Just one point on Northern Ireland. If you're looking for a pro Northern Ireland bet here, 7 of Northern Ireland's last 10 goals in competitive games have come from set pieces. 4 from corners and 3 from indirect free kicks. Gareth McCauley has had more shots than any other Northern Ireland player so far in the competition, and he's 17-2 to score any time. And Craig Cathcart's up for corners as well. He's 14-1. I think that's the way Northern Ireland are going to score. If they're going to break a side down, it's going to probably be from a set piece.
Well, yeah, in my Mirror column the other day, I was talking about the Republic of Ireland game against Italy. Republic of Ireland needed to win, and it was 6-4 to win, or 7-4, something like that, which I thought was really short. Mm. But I thought if they are going to win, it's going to be 1-0, because in only one tournament match in their history had they scored more than one goal, and that was against Saudi Arabia in about 1994. So I thought if they're going to win, it's going to be 1-0, and it was 15-2 to win 1-0. In many eyes, it was the same bet, Ireland to win or Ireland to win 1-0, the same bet, and you're getting 15-2 or 6-4.
So that's Derek McGovern and Dave Kellner on Wales against Northern Ireland, and we'll move on to Croatia against Portugal in a moment or two. But before we do, it's time to hear from Lee Phelps with his latest country file.
Welcome to Portugal, a nation steeped in history and the oldest nation state in Europe, with the same defined borders since 1139. It once ruled over Brazil, Africa and Asia, and was actually the first global empire. Now, over 236 million people worldwide are native Portuguese speakers. It's the official language of Portugal, Brazil, Cape Verde, Angola, Guinea-Bissau, Mozambique, Sao Tome and Equatorial Guinea, and it's spoken in Goa, Macau and East Timor. How about this for a festival? In June every year, it holds the Festa de São João de Porto, and it pays tribute to St. John the Baptist. Partygoers engage in a pagan-style courtship ritual. The tradition is that young men find attractive women and proceed to hit them with garlic flowers or soft plastic hammers. And let's finish on this one. It's an absolute corker. No, literally. Portugal produces 70% of the world's cork.
Another excellent country file there then from Lee Phelps. Let's move on to the final game. Croatia against Portugal. Croatia 17-10, 9-5 for the draw. Portugal 21-10. And Dave Kellner was joined by Tom Kunder here to look ahead to the game, and started with the man that everyone talks about when they're talking about Portugal, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Portugal is, I think, whether they like it or not, you know, it is a little bit the Cristiano Ronaldo show with Portugal. We were hoping, a lot of Portuguese fans were hoping, that maybe a little different this time round, at least in terms, you know, on the pitch, because there's a lot of other very talented players, some new talented players emerging. But once again, you're absolutely right. It was Captain Fantastic who pulled Portugal through. You know, a fantastic performance against Hungary. It was just a helter-skelter, crazy match. But one of the most enjoyable matches I've seen live, but also one of the most heart-stopping ones.
And the good thing from a Portugal standpoint now, Tom, is that because of the Iceland late winner, they're in the good side of the draw, Portugal.
Absolutely, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's we were already thinking, you know, as the clock ticked down. I think the Hungary game actually finished, you know, a few minutes earlier or a few seconds earlier than the Iceland game. So as soon as the full time whistle went here in Lyon, we thought, okay, let's start making plans to go down to Nice, England against Portugal. That'll be fun, won't it? And then a few seconds later, in fact, we're going up north to play Croatia. And you're absolutely right, you know. It's funny, isn't it, that draw, when you look at it, it's remarkable. One really, really strong side of the one half of the draw. The other half doesn't look quite so strong. So Portugal are in the half, which perhaps would you know, give them a lot of optimism. But again, this Croatia, you could argue, have been probably the most one of the most impressive teams at this tournament. So that's going to be a really, really big task for Portugal to overcome them. If they do, though, you're right, you know, no France, no Germany, no Spain, no Italy until the final, if they get that far. So, yeah, it's an interesting situation.
How do you assess, Tom, Portugal's play in the tournament so far? Because they've not won a game yet, but they've not lost one either.
Yeah, I think the most people looking at Portugal, if you take it from a results-based kind of analysis, most people would say they've had a disappointing tournament. But performance-wise, especially in the first two games and especially in the game against Austria, I think they've been playing some good stuff, playing quite well. They were just lacking the goals. And then the Hungary game, I think just the nerves got the best, you know, got the better of the players, and that was just a wild game. But I don't think Portugal have been playing badly. Like I say, it was interesting after the Austria game, Fernando Santos said, I think it was in the press conference before the Hungary game, he said, that performance by Portugal against Austria is the best performance Portugal have put in a competitive game since I've been manager. Mm. Been manager for a couple of years. And I would agree with that. You know, they really did play well in that game. Did, you know, played some lovely football, really. Tore Austria apart. Did everything right, apart from, of course, putting the ball in the net. But they've managed to score three goals in there, you know, against Hungary. So should have a bit more confidence in front of goal. And if they can, you know, there's no doubt about it, this Portugal squad is a very talented squad, I'd say. Much more talented, most Portuguese people would say, much more talented than the squad at the last Euros. They got to the semi-finals. So, you know, there's quite a lot, although you're right, Portugal haven't won one game yet, there's quite a lot of optimism, you know, surrounding the situation.
How do you think Fernando Santos will set up here? Because he left Ricardo Quaresma out in the previous match, and we got to see the talented Renato Sanchez for half a game as well. He's got some tough decisions to make.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's probably one of the problems of Fernando Santos and of Portugal. I mean, we've talked about what a talented squad this is, but that can be a bit of a blessing in disguise because he's chopped and changed. Even the formation and the personnel. They started off 4-4-2 against Iceland, went 4-3-3 against Austria. Quaresma was back on the bench against Hungary, and it was back to 4-4-2. But then towards the end of that half, the last half hour, Quaresma came on and it changed again. So there's no real stability there. And that might be what's, you know, preventing Portugal from really hitting full stride, you know, all the time. So I think Renato Sanches came on for the second half. A lot of people have been calling for him to start Portugal games. Did make a difference. You know, he brings so much energy and power into that midfield, and he replaced Joao Moutinho, who's been a little bit disappointing this season. He really doesn't seem to be quite on his game in this tournament. So I wouldn't be surprised if Renato Sanches started against Croatia.
Croatia favourites here with William Hill to win this match, 17-10 in 90 minutes. The draw 9-5, Portugal 21-10. What are the keys for Portugal in this match, and do you think they'll win it?
I wish I could say. I think it's going to be a tight match. I think it's fair that Croatia are favourites. I mean, you just look at the tournament so far. Like I said, I think they've been probably the most impressive team over the three group games. I think the Portugal would just have to really click as a team. They've got great individuals, apart from against Austria. But even against Austria, they didn't get it right in principle. But they haven't quite clicked to their full capacity, and I think they're going to have to. They're going to beat Croatia. On the plus side, from Portugal's point of view, they do have a tendency to play better against stronger sides and sides that will attack them, and need more space than against defensively minded teams. So that could be a good thing, the fact that Portugal are now, playing a side that will kind of look at them straight in the eyes and play it. It should be, quite an open game. Well, not necessarily an open game, but definitely not a defensive cagey game or a game of one-way traffic. I think I'm not quite so confident, to be honest, about Portugal's chances in this game as I was after the Austria performance. I just think it's a little bit too unsettled. The team's a little bit too unsettled to be at their very best. I think that if you had to push me, I'd say Croatia to win, perhaps 2-1, a very tight game.
Croatia to win the game 2-1 in the betting at 11-1. Do check out all the betting on the William Hill website and have a look. If Portugal are to succeed, it's probably going to come from either the boot or the head of Cristiano Ronaldo, and he is available at 13-10 to score any time, 13-2 to get two or more, and 45-1 to score a hat-trick here with William Hill.
Tom Kunder then giving his thoughts on Portugal ahead of their match with Croatia, in the company once again of Dave Kellner. We're going to move on and get the answer to the quiz question I gave you at the start of the podcast. Before we do that, a little bit of quirky trivia before that. Which player voiced Frank McKay in the German version of Monsters University? Well done if you know the answer to that. I don't think many people will. Manuel Neuer, the German goalkeeper, was the voice of Frank McKay in the German version of Monsters University. So there you go. That's one random fact for you. Here's another one. The answer to the question at the start of the podcast, I asked you which European country is the only nation to win both male and female World Cups. Well, the answer is Germany. The German men and German women have both sat at the top of the football world. So that's the trivia for today. We're pretty much done. All that's left to say is, if you want to hear full betting commentaries for these games, you can tune in to William Hill In Play Radio from midday on Saturday, running all the way through until 10 p.m. with all of the action from these three games. Also, keep an eye out on Twitter at Will Hill Bet and at Will Hill In Play. We'll be covering all of the action at the Euros along the way as well. Good luck if you're having a bet on Saturday, and enjoy the action as the last 16 gets underway at the Euros.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.